It's Renee here. I am obsessed with everything mindset, growth, and personal development. This show is all about how to work on yourself and shift your perspective so you can unleash the badass woman in you and live your best life. If you feel that you're meant for more and you're ready to learn, you're at the right spot. Let's do this. Hello, my babes. Welcome back to It's Renee Podcast. I'm super excited for today's guest. He has over a decade of coaching high-level executives and providing leadership development for today's leaders. He is one of my coach. He's coaching my boyfriend as well. His favorite part is seeing us realize our own potential and break free from our own limitations. My favorite part of this and the best part of this story is He did this for himself. His past life looks nothing like his life today. And I can't wait to dive into this with all of you. Gabe, welcome to my podcast.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. I have to say right from the get-go, like you, your passion is second to none. Absolutely. Oh,
thank you. And full disclosure, Gabe is actually the one who really pushed me to start my podcast. Since we met, he's been saying, when are you starting your podcast? When are you starting your podcast? He even gave me contacts of people I can reach out to get help with the marketing and all of that. So it's, if we're here, it's in large part because of you pushing me to my full potential. So thank you. Yeah. So I mentioned it, your past life looks nothing like the life that you have today. You're leading incredible people. You're coaching amazing, like I mentioned it, high-level executives from all kinds of backgrounds. You have doctors, you have lawyers, you have pharmacists, you have realtors, you have anyone. Like you've coached everyone I know, basically. So this is incredible. And did you ever think that you would be where you are today? Like, tell me a bit more about your life before and where it was going, if you would have kept going that way, I guess.
Yeah, well, absolutely not. At the age of 19, 20 years old, my path was to become a correctional officer. So I work at the Moncton Jail at the age of 19 years old. And I did not have the right headspace, mind space. I had a lot of insecurities, a lot of fear, a lot of kind of worry about the future. I also struggled a lot of codependency, which is in one sense, the addiction to relationships. So for me, I was always dependent on people. And long story short, 2010, I was 20 years old. A lot happened. I got separated with my ex-fiance. So I was previously engaged. I was unemployed for 12 months, drinking most days, gambling most days. And there's a time it got so bad that I had three options. I was either moving back home in Buktush, living on the street, or finding another place to live because my unemployment check wasn't big enough to live because I was drinking most of it. So at that time in my life, I took the route of moving in with a random family. So I went on Kijiji, which is what you used to do back then.
Yeah.
To find a spot. And I found a room with this random family and I moved in with them. And it was so awkward. Like I could still visualize myself like sitting on the edge of their son's bed while he was in university studies. And that's when it clicked. I was like, Gabe, what the hell are you doing? Like,
wow,
you are literally wasting your life. Like, you're living in this fearful mindset. You're not serving people to your potential. You're not living up to your potential. And this needs to change. Like, you need to wake up. You need to wake up and because you're either going to end up in jail or going to end up dead before you can do anything, I guess, in this short, finite life. And that's when I made the decision to myself. I made a, you can say, almost a a vow to myself, and I made an agreement that, okay, from now on, every single day of the rest of your life, you will seek ways to improve yourself. So every single day when I wake up, I intentionally focus on becoming better. And some days I regress, some days I go forward. But since then, I've been blessed to meet a lot of great people. And it was all with one singular goal or focus, which is just really just encouraging people. Like I feel I'm called just to encourage people. And that's
what you're doing.
That's what I do.
Wow. So how, from that moment, like, what was your next step? Like how you said that it clicked and you're like, that's it. Like, I can't keep on going like this. What was your next step? Like, what did someone talk to you and gave you advice? Did you reach out to people? Like, what was the next path, I guess?
Yeah. So my immediate next step was to find out what gave me energy, because I was lacking a lot of energy. So I went immediately to, well, I think I kind of like people. So that might be a passion of mine. So passion, people. Okay. And I kind of like to work out. So fitness wise. So how about I combine fitness and people? Mm-hmm. And that's what I pursue my first 5 years in coaching through Good Life Fitness. So then I literally showed up to the Dieppe Good Life in the obviously Moncton area. And it literally took me, this is a true story, took me about 5 months to get a job offer as a personal trainer because of my fear, insecurities, my inability to socialize because I was socially awkward. Literally to the point that I almost wasn't fully truthful with the manager. I was like, I have people that are ready to sign up. Like, I need, just give me a shot.
Yeah. And
long story short, in that first year, to my surprise, because it was never the goal, I got nominated Top Trainer Canada through Good Life Fitness. And I sold for over $140,000 of personal training and 1,800 service clients. And it was, It was a surprise to everyone, including myself, because I honestly didn't really knew what I was doing. Just generally went in with the mindset I'm just going to serve the person in front of me. And like I said, it was really hard because this is, again, true story. I literally saw myself like at the gym floor and giving myself 5 minutes to talk to three people. And every conversation was a struggle. I was like, okay, three more people.
Wow.
And I kept hustling and literally like working too many hours, like 70 plus hours work week was normal. But I just kept getting rejected. Finally, one client said yes, and then rejected. And then one client said yes. And people are like, oh, you're really good at sales. No, I'm just really good at meeting a lot of people.
Exactly. And this is just a reminder, like, you can't give up if one person says no. Like, yeah. Look where you are today. If you would have said back then, oh, it's not working. People are telling me no. Like, I'm going back to that house, living with that family and getting back to my old life. Like, no, you had that feeling that it was giving you energy. It was aligned with maybe not who you are today, but at least to the person that you were meant to be like at that point. And it was just all aligning for you. And it's crazy. Yeah. And you said that you had a fear of public speaking or like talking in front of a crowd. Yeah. And now this is what you do for a friggin' living. How was this for you? Like, was it a real struggle at first? Like, especially in your coaching world?
Yeah, in my coaching career, I had a tipping point, and it happened on September 16, 2014. This is when John C. Maxwell came to the Moncton Wesleyan Church as a leadership conference And it was then that it literally clicked. I've will say received my purpose. And I wrote it, I documented it at 5 a.m. the following morning, which I randomly woke up and I start writing information. And even though I knew there was something much bigger for myself at that time, I was still shackled by my fears of rejection, which came out in the form of public speaking and putting myself out there, et cetera. But even though I had all of these fears, I still took the leap of quitting Good Life to be working full time with LMI. Again, this will be about 7 years ago, which is full commission, putting myself out there in a completely new territory of coaching. And in that first year, for people to know, I literally got rejected successfully over 800 times in my first 12 months.
Wow.
So 800. So I was about 20 some appointments per week, 73 per month, literally rejected over 800 times in my first 12 months with LMI.
Wow.
But here's the catcher. I still had the fear of public speaking while I quit my job. And it took me literally a year and almost a half to actually start doing the coaching. Because a few people know this, the first year and a half, I was only doing business development
Okay.
and leading people to programs with Steven Daniels. And eventually I was like, Gabe, you're barely paying your mortgage. Like grow up and start doing
Yeah.
some coaching. Because just coaching in front of a few people, again, was out of my comfort zone. And then I just the following year I did kind of committed to facing my fears and then the rest was history, really, because as you lean into your fear, you realize that that was just a false evidence appearing real. It was just a story about reality. But I've learned that whatever I resist is usually my next step.
Wow. And like by me being one of your like whatever how you would say that student, I guess. When you talk, like it feels so natural. Like to me, like when you told me that you had fears of speaking in public at first, I was like, what? No, you don't. Like you didn't. It's impossible because today you're so like confident and strong. And maybe you still have little fears inside, but
Absolutely.
yeah, like I think we all do, but we can't really feel it because you're just going for it. And I feel like what you're speaking, it comes out from something that's higher than yourself. Like it's not even, you know, you don't look at your notes or you don't read something. It's just natural and it's really powerful to watch. A few things. So going back to Good Life, so you had to take that leap of faith again to leave that career, that safety, that comfort zone, and take the next step. Like, what was it like for you? What was that feeling inside of you that was like, you just got to do it? Like, how did you like listen to that voice, but also decided to follow it?
The uniqueness of that season is I was at that time still kind of seeking fate. I was an atheist around that time in my life, so all of my trust was in my own ability. So it sounds cliches, but when your fate is greater than your fear, then you see the possibility, and hope allows you to believe it, which in
Right.
love wraps all of these ideas together. But at that time in my life, I guess atheist. I didn't believe, so I was my own kind of creator of reality. So it was really hard. It was a really honest, hard leap to take, because at the exact same time, I also started a family. Look at the time frames. Luca, my son, he's now 5 years old, and then Chloe is four. So I had two under two in my first years in business,
Wow.
while having a mortgage and payments and all this. So the amount of pressure that I went through behind the scene was enough to allow me to have a lot of breakdowns. So the feeling was quite heavy. But what I kind of did at that time was clarify where I needed to be in 5 years. And then I had three options to kind of bring me to my five-year goal. And I took the path that brought me, I guess, the most effectively and into my five-year vision, not based on short-term. I knew financially I would have get a hit. I knew that emotionally, mentally, I would have been rejected. But I took the following my purpose, my passion with LMI, because it was the not the logical path, but the right path to take.
I love that. Oh my goodness. It's so inspiring because you know my situation and you know how I am with my job and all of that. And this is gold. I love your story. So you've talked about writing a book.
Yeah.
Maybe. How is that going?
yeah, really good. I've another that's kind of what I've already talked about. What we resist is usually what we got to do next. At the age of probably 9, 8, 10 years old, I had a bit of a traumatic event in school. I don't have the testing yet, but I'm pretty sure I have a learning disability. But at that time, I was reading for my friends in school, and I really struggled reading, and everyone starts laughing at me. And for me, that's when I shut down and closed off to really show the world who Gabe is. So from that point on to my mid-20s, I have never, ever read a book, as an example. Even entering chapters was extremely uncomfortable because there used to be a Starbucks, the Moncton chapter.
Yeah.
I used to go get a Starbucks, but from the door to Starbucks, it was uncomfortable because I was in an environment where smart people go to read books. And I was labeled as the dumb kid. So that environment was extremely uncomfortable because I never saw myself even qualified to go to university, which hence why I've always started university 2 years ago. But all that to be said, as I unpacked this limited belief around my communication skills and reading skills and learning skills, I then decided to do the complete opposite. Well, how about I nip this belief right in the butt and I literally write my own book. So I'm reading, I'll write it.
Exactly.
So now it's been a couple of years of me writing, and I'm not rigid on it to be a goal or a set and so many words got to be writing. I've done kind of the back end. I see myself as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So then I naturally write here, there, on my phone, through social media. And partially why I express myself in that way, one of the benefits for Gabe is I'm calibrating my thoughts and how I digest and express ideas. But it all connects back to the book that I'll be, my first book, we can even say that I'll be publishing whenever the timing is right.
Yeah, and I can't wait for that. If you don't follow him on, I think you're mostly on Facebook, right? Like I don't typically see you elsewhere, but if you do have him on Facebook, like every day there's like this, like you have a post of something that inspired you that day, or even when you feel not inspired, you share it. And it's beautiful because you're always being honest and raw. And I think your audience really likes that. And you have amazing stories of people that you randomly meet at random places. And I know you guys can't see right now, but Gabe is wearing a shirt that says, be a nice human. And I think that's really the definition of who you are. You enter places with such an open heart and an open mind that you meet these people, and it's not a coincidence. It's like it was definitely meant to be, and you meet them, and I'm sure they're leaving that place that day, and they're bringing something with them that they needed. So yeah. I love that. All kinds of stories like that on your Facebook. Do you have one that's like a preferred story? That's kind of one that you'll always remember, if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, and I just a comment. I'm not sure if I would classify myself as a good human.
Of course,
I have so many flaws, and I also have accepted that in my human nature, I imperfect, but I do serve a perfect God, I guess, in that sense. But yeah. Stories, I've been super blessed to be open to having a lot of rich conversations, more often than others. Like it's almost like it's been kind of compounding.
Right.
And sometimes I'll share a few kind of stories here and there, but like I have one great yesterday as an example, or last week, and it's more like, again, it's really it's off the cuff type of and it's usually, I was telling Julie last night, it's usually whenever I am accessible or and available. It's whenever I usually have a jam-packed schedule, but then suddenly there'll be a Tuesday afternoon, my schedule is completely open, and then I don't feel the urge to fill it, and I kind of just go spontaneously through the afternoon, and next you know, I'm like, call Jim. Okay, wow. then I call Jim, and then the conversation usually ends up in tear. There's usually an interaction or message or a word of encouragement that profoundly impacts the other person. But a quick story I could share is, and this is not, it's just more of a story and kind of how I started my journey. So Mel was 31 years old. This was July 2011. She was the first client I have ever coached. She was 263 pounds, filled with insecurities, filled with fear. She was actually on the verge of canceling her membership prior to starting, because she didn't want someone else to tell her how fat she was. And I did my confirmation call the day before, and then she showed up the following day and she signed up. Long story short, within 12 months, she lost over 100 pounds, ran a 5K 6 months after she ran half marathon.
That's crazy.
But through that transformation, so that's the first client, first person that I was ever part of her, small part of her story, was Mel. And I've learned so much about Mel. I've learned so much about how her character has grown, her confidence, her self-esteem, her mental health, her emotional health, and how she can, like, literally when we first started her journey, we had to go live diet, used to have some closed up gym sections upstairs. Yeah. So we used to go in that room to work out with long sleeve and in the corner, almost in the dark shade. And then slowly but progressively, she's like, I think we should go more here now to do the workout. And by the end of the journey, she's the one that's literally been like doing personal records and circuit training and literally just beast mode, like daily.
Yeah.
Her confidence was so high that she would literally do a circuit, beat her time, and she's at the finish line with her hand in the air. She's like, okay, give me my high five. And it, something, and the last thing I'll share from the story, which again inspired me so much, the old section, I guess, was the personal training section, was in the bottom level of the Good Life Diet where the cardio is.
Yeah.
So when you're in that gym location, there's cardio equipment on the second floor. So it's almost look like you have an audience watching towards you. True. And we learn, actually, this is a true story. And for about 5 months, there was a group of elderly women I'm actually getting almost teary thinking about it.
Bon, now I will too.
Interesting. That's the first time it ever happens when I,
Really?
and it's not big of a, but it just, I guess it sinks. So long story short, there's a group of people lacking motivation, and they used to okay. Okay, so there was literally a group of the woman that was lacking motivation, and their motivation was Mal that time.
This is so powerful. Oh my God. Wow. And it's all because you decided to help her.
Yeah, but yeah, so we never knew that
Wow.
that she had fans, and literally 5 months after, they were talking about her in the locker room, and she's like, "What?" And then so they got caught, like they got caught with the hands in the cookie jar. Now like you get. And then they confess. They're like, yeah, actually, we're kind of struggling. So how we got ourselves to show up was to, because she used to work out at 5 p.m. She had the 5 p.m. time slot 4 days a week.
Okay.
So they knew that at 5 p.m. she's doing her workout. She's doing her circuits. So literally, their motivation to show up was to go at the gym for 5 p.m. to watch her workout while going on a treadmill.
Wow. Oh my God, I have goosebumps. I've heard this story before from you, but I never, like I you never told this part, I don't think.
Yeah.
So that's super powerful, and like it reaffirms the fact that when you're following your purpose, like it has a ripple effect, and it's you're helping one person, but then it helps so many more in the background. That it's so powerful. Thank you for sharing. So I know we're almost at time, but I still have a few things I want to touch on. So essentially, you say when you have these random encounters with people, most of them, you say that it's when your schedule has like an open spot. It's when you're not really rushing or running around. So essentially, what you're telling me is it happens when you're present.
Yeah.
It happens when you're self-aware, when you're not on your phone or being distracted. It's when you're actually just being.
Yeah.
And I think it's so powerful and important because we tend to forget these days to put the damn phone down and just be. Like go in a coffee shop and sit there and just be and look around. And there's so many beautiful things to see that we forget and we miss them because we're so consumed by everything going on. That's so inspiring. So you have a family, you have two young kids. So you're raising them to be amazing leaders is what I'm thinking.
Well, again, doing my best, still lots of flaws, lots of things I can do better. And yeah, I'm grateful because Julie and I, my wife, and we do have a focus to grow our kids to be leaders. Leadership is really influence. So helping them to understand the power they and the influence they can have on people through as simple as sharing words of encouragement, also showing the example, or simply just being there for someone that needs someone to talk to. But this character development is really the key when it comes to parenting. And it is to me, and there's definitely a bit of a gap in how to effectively kind of raise our kids, because for most of us, which we're trying to figure out for ourselves.
Exactly.
And I still don't have the answer. So I'm still seeking what's the most effective way to be a good human. So we're doing our best. And I know there's lots of room to improve. And but I also get to learn from the kids more than sometimes I would even want to admit.
Wow. That's so powerful. And I know your daughter, you mentioned before that she loves everybody and she has this amazing energy. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Again, some stuff that you share on Facebook, it's really nice because you're sharing the good, the bad, you're just sharing you. And I think people can relate to that. So thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm. Before we go, can you just quickly talk about LMI? What is the program? In your own words, just so my audience know a bit more about it. Like I mentioned, I'm taking a course right now through the program. My boyfriend is taking one. He took one last year. So what is it? Who is it for? What can it help people with?
Yeah. So when I discovered my purpose, as I talked about in 2014, I had two options when it came to coaching. I could either do my own coaching or associate with who I believe to be the best on the planet, which is LMI. So LMI is the largest, most successful coaching organization on the planet. And we've been running for over 60 years. We're established over 90 countries. There's 22 different programs. Translated in 30 plus languages. So it's a multi-billion dollar organization that gives back $250,000 on a monthly basis to charities. So I've associated myself with LMI because, and this is kind of why we exist. Someone described me LMI this way, which fits really well. He said to me, Gabe, if you would have the cure for cancer, what would you do with it? Well, I would obviously share it with the world. So LMI is the cure for mental cancer. And that's why we exist. People are mentally in prison and they're holding themselves back and they're not living their full God-given potential. LMI facilitates people through reaching and awakening more of that God-given potential.
Love it. And something I love even more is the sessions that we have group sessions. We get to connect with like-minded people. They can be from different backgrounds, but somehow we all come together when we're in that session and it's just super powerful. That's absolutely amazing. So before we go, like I mentioned, you're mostly on Facebook. So if people want to connect with you, Facebook would be the best approach. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Facebook, LinkedIn.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay. Awesome. I'll add the full name under the bio so people can find you. Again, thank you so much, Gabe. This has been amazing. And it's one of the sessions where I just knew it was going to be great and it was just going to flow. So I didn't, like I told you, I didn't even prep questions and they just kept coming as we were talking. So this was a gem. Thank you so much for accepting to do this.
My God, thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. All right. Goodbye, my babes.